Hallelujah. All right, let's go to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 9. The burden of ministry. The burden. Burden of ministry. Hope you are getting it. Hope you are catching it. The burden of ministry. We said it's not an option, right? Even though it's an option, but it's not an option. The burden of ministry. So one has to be weary of a ministry or minister who panders to what we want. Paul 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy 4, 1. I charge you before God, the Lord Jesus Christ, and his elect angels, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing. Preach the word, he tells him. Be instant in season and out of season. He asks Timothy to reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering, patience and doctrine. Then he says that time will come when they will no longer endure sound doctrine. That's what Paul said. He said they will no longer endure it, which means they won't stay with it for long. And that's the nature of human beings. We usually feel, let's have something new. The husband wants something new from the wife. The wife wants something new from the husband. The kids want something new from the parents. Siblings, something new. At your workplace. And so there's just a craving for something new. So you can almost predict your pastor will open scripture. He's going to talk about the text of the scripture. He's going to talk about Jesus. At some point, because you are human, you will get bored. It's the same thing, commitment to ministry, discipleship, teaching, praying, living right, being an example. Then somebody just comes and says, I've discovered the oracular interpretation of a prophetic script. Something new. They will no longer endure it. Which means the sound doctrine is something that should be endured, not enjoyed. It says they would now heap up teachers after their own lust. Heap up teachers. The word there in the Greek means to go and practically buy. You go and buy books. You look for websites. You go on Facebook. I told somebody, I said, in your local church, this is not even says community. They give them assignments in the church. They do a lot of Bible study. In fact, it's so intense what they do there. Good Bible study. They study, I think in that church, I hope I'm right. They do this cover to cover Bible study in that church. But this fellow still found time to join a WhatsApp group. You know, it's not, it's WhatsApp, there's WhatsApp group. I want to join a WhatsApp group. I said, what exactly are you looking for? It can't be God's word. The one they taught you on Sunday, you are here to meditate. You are going to do what's up. You are not growing. My dear friend, Bishop, Pastor Larry Amuson used to say in those days, he said that it is not in, that when it comes to the Christian growth, it's not in width, it's in depth. Depth. Some people, they have an idea about everything, but they don't know so much about anything. I've heard it before. That's all they have. I've heard it before. Idea theology. Idea Christian life. I said, what are you doing around? You see the intensity that they are putting in your local church, and you are still jumping all over the place. That kind of person is heaping up teachers. Heaping up teachers. After he's lost or are lost. He said, they will turn from the truth to fables. Truth to fables. Some people that embraced the grace message, it wasn't really the love for Christ. It was just the fact that they were bored with the things they were hearing. So they tell something, somebody is telling you it is done. That's the catch.
You were talking about, when you said it is done, you are referring to, you know, the demands of justice. You are talking about the finished work of Christ. That's what you are talking about. When you say it is done, they are saying no more activity. So, you are both hearing two different things. It's done. It's done. That's legalistic. 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 Heaping up teachers after their own laws. So they are looking for somebody who will address, or let's say resonate with what they want. That is not a shepherd after God's heart. No, it's not. A shepherd after God's heart will give the people the word of God. He will ask them, guys, what should we be preaching? Eh, pastor, are you serious? What should we be preaching? What do you want me to preach? Sir, don't preach. Just let's dance. So, be careful for people who give you these alternatives. You know, somebody came to church one day and we shut the door because the door should be shut. Why do you put door in church? It's to shut it. It didn't have keys. So we shut the door. The guy was like, I've never heard this before, that they will close the door of the church. I've never heard it before. You are hearing it now. How can somebody close the door of the church? Look at you, as tall as you are. They started the service 7:00. You strolled into it. You expect the door to be open. It can't be open. It is open before 7. By 7 it is closed. That's why at the parable of the 10 virgins, the door was shut. It was closed. Shut. So, I said, well, I don't know. I said, you know what, don't fight. There's a church down there. You can go now. Watch, we want to shut our own door. Go there. It's there. You can, in fact, you can enter when they are closing. They will still call you as first timer and give you pancake and coke. So don't bother yourself. Yeah. The guy was feeling bad. I said, when you now go outside, go and tell people the reason why you don't like that church was because you were late and they closed the door. Let's see some other shameless Christians who will clap for you. Somebody went on, so what's up? Was it what is? And he said, I went to this church, I think it was a church in the battle. I said, you know, I can imagine they were saying they didn't have a Bible and writing material. And I said, I don't want to. They said, no, I must have one. I said, and I was wondering, and the guy was writing it. And people were saying, what kind of church is that? What kind of church? Is that a church? How can they be saying you should not have a Bible? Is it compulsory to have it? So I think one person who had half spirit now contributed and said, but guys, what are we even talking about here? You should go to church with your Bible. So if I don't have, you know, social media is really a madhouse. It's a madhouse. You know, so be careful for people that give you those alternatives. That, you know, it's not, I mean, in my church, they believe in personal worship. It's not about that gathering thing. In my church, the way it is, you know, the sermons are, they are reflective of society. The application. You know, my church is full of apps. That's just full of apps. You know, we don't all this Bible study. You know, would you just give us the real core of the matter, which is that God. Just my dad told me one time, he said, all this Bible study is not necessary. I was not even a Christian when he said it. He said, all this Bible study, say that, you know, and his father was a pastor. So this Bible study is not necessary. He said, there are two things you need in your life. Two! He said, even if you don't have a Bible, just do those two things. You enter the kingdom of God. I was not born again. I was a young boy. He said, love your neighbor as yourself. Don't tell lies and don't steal. No matter what else you do after, you enter the kingdom of God. He said, forget this born again thing, it's just a lie. You know, years later, you know, after, of course, I'd grown up, he said, you know, I believe that you are my father reincarnate. You know, I was looking at him. After you told me not to be like your father. So, you know, so he said, we don't have all those stress in our church, prayer, even prayer. You know, my pastor will just tell us that, you know, just join us on Zoom if you have the time. You know, let's just give thanks. When we give thanks, you know, in our prayer meeting, you can even have a Zobo behind you. You can even have Star Lager. It's one and the same. It's not spoiling the prayer. Just pamper me, pamper me, pamper me. You know, they are all options. They are all options. Alternative. But it's not God who gave that alternative. It's man-made. That alternative is man-made. The doctrine of saying someone has to be called by God to the ministry before he's involved in discipleship and teaching is not God, though. It's man-made. The doctrine that says you have a prayer department where some people are praying, some are drumming. You won't see it in the Bible. Or some are giving money, right? Some are spending it. Some are praying. Some are going. It's man-made. It's an option. But it's not God who gave the option. So be careful. The kind of alternatives you are looking for. You are looking for Christianity light. Bible study light. That's what you are looking for. So he said, in our church, when we fast, my pastor said we can take tea. I said, alone? Add bread. Put butter. My pastor said we can take tea. That he takes tea. Uh-huh. Put something now. How can you just be taking tea? I hope he's not the one that really helped me put milk. And put proper bread. I mean, and if it's not okay, add a bar. Let it be a solid fast. You know, the rule, don't argue. If you argue, how can a Christian say you should be taking tea fasting? What are you now fasting? What else is slower than that? Matthew 9. Hope you are in church. Verse 36. When he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Scattered abroad. Which we said yesterday is a believer with no control. No accountability anywhere. No leadership. They had no leadership. Now, they got healed, right? They received miracles, right? But they still had no shepherd. No shepherd. So I said, well, doesn't matter. I don't even have a church. But, I mean, I receive miracles. I join an online prayer group, online prayer ministry, where they declare and decree on us. After declare and decree, I get my testimonies, I send it. And they send some scriptures for us to be listening to every now and then. What else is church? Nothing. Nothing else. You are fine. But get a spiritual doctor. You know, he said they were like sheep having no shepherd. We saw yesterday and the day before, they are distressed. So we have believers who are distressed. Confused. They are confused. Like I said before we started, You know, they don't know the voice they are listening to. And you will see that in instability, inconsistency. It's all there. Paul says they are tossed to and fro, Ephesians 4:14, by every wind of doctrine. Confused. Look at 1 Kings 22. Where that text, one of the texts, where you find that text, or that reference by Matthew. 1 Kings 22. This was the king. He asked the prophet Micaiah to prophesy. Micaiah first told him, he said, verse 15, go and prosper, for the Lord will deliver you to the hand of the king. Micaiah told the king what he wanted to hear, but the king was smart. He knew that Micaiah, this is not it. You know, he knew that what you are saying is what I want to hear, but I know it's not the truth. You know, you always know who is telling you the truth. That's not the truth. Okay, I said, no, all is well, sir. In fact, 2023 is a year to break to the right, to the left, to the break in the center, and break over body. Hey! No responsibility, no prayer. 2022 is that year where every other desire will be met. Sorry, that's not in the Bible. All your desires will be met. It's in the Bible. It's not in the Bible now. Huh? You don't know your desires. You discover it per day. Micaiah said, it is well, sir. Even gave tongue interpretation and said, Micaiah, don't do this now. Micaiah said, okay. Let me tell you what I saw. That I adjure you that will tell me nothing, but that which is true in the name of the Lord. Which means we must be ready to hear truth even when it is not convenient. It's not convenient. There are times that you hear a teaching and you will become uncomfortable. I remember one time that guy was in a Christ Embassy service and we were listening to a series on identification. It was so lovely. This Sunday, Pastor Chris just came up. And then our ministry, we used to hold meetings in the evening, so I used to go to their service in the morning. So, he just came up, and he said, Achan, from identification. Achan. Say, are you an Achan? Hey? All the, whoo, go away. The old church went quiet. And you know when Pastor Chris starts to talk like that, he has the Edo voice. You know, every pastor has different voices, though. He has that Edo voice. He was not speaking like an Edo boy. I said, we're in trouble today. He said, and he started. Then he called people out. He said, if you leave this service and you hug yourselves and you go home and pray. Hey! I said, this is the name the Lord has made. And it went on and on because there was something to be addressed. So we got home that evening, before I went for our own fellowship meeting. One dear brother, who I'm sure is going to hear this, he must have heard this testimony, this story again and again. He won't know where to put me. I've known him for this is the 38th year I've known him. It was at my first convention. He said, Ore, leave this matter now. Say, by faith they obtained a good report. You have a report. So he said, he just came to my house that evening. He said, Ore, what do you think? What's the man of God moving? I said, moving what? He said, what do you say about Achan? I said, bros, are you the pastor of the church? He said, no. What's your own? He said, you know, I'm just thinking, why would you move from the reality of the new creatures? I said, bros, you know what he said in the church? Don't bring it to my house. The cost that you have brought, go back to your house with it. What's my own? He said in Yoruba, he said, it's not that hard. I said, it's harder than that. Listen to this. What's my own? Me that even the fellowship I'm going to, I don't know how many people are going to attend. I'm still trusting God. for that guy, the follower for Friday to come, you are not disturbing with somebody who has something he's doing. I'm still thinking that his brother Bosu coming. That guy, the way he did last week, he's not going to come back. That's still on my mind. I'm talking about somebody else who is facing his own work. Eh? That's how some of us, you, let me leave that for now. I'll address it later. Micaiah said, do you want to hear the truth?
She said, say it. I saw all Israel scattered upon the hills as sheep that have not a shepherd. And the Lord said, these have no master. Now, he's talking to the king. Who is the shepherd?
He said, you have been fired. You know, imagine you open a Facebook account or a Facebook profile, or you get on the news and you discover that your position has vacancy. I say, but I am the marketing officer. I'm the chief marketing officer, and they say vacancy. And you look at the email; it's their email. That is what Micaiah just told you, bros. You have been fired. And it is clear from the lives of those under your care. You are fired. They have no master. Everyone, just like Judges says, they are doing as it is right in their eyes. As it is, I know there are some instances, it's the members that will compel the pastor to allow them to do whatever they like. Somebody told me one day, he said, sir, I'm just thinking. That's how, you know, the church, I'm not looking at, maybe as a church we should do that. I said, I said, come. I said, were you there when we started this church? I said, no. One. Did we start it together? No. Very good. So you were not there when we started. We did not start it together. I said, good. When did you join? So, I said, good. If we take the seat, the rows, according to how people join, where do you think you will sit? Look at it. 1, 2, 3, 4. That area is your seat. Whenever you come to service, go and be sitting there. Who gave you such things? Who's telling you to? Where is the suggestion coming from? Because we are playing. That's playing. Are you joking? Because they have no pastor. And they are saying, pastor, say no, you have been fired. So the king of Israel said, Joseph, I told you, this guy will not prophesy good concerning me. He didn't want to hear the truth. And we are going to look at this later on. A lying spirit now went to the mouth of prophets to lie to him. May your ears not heed lying spirits. You know, that they will tell you what you want to hear. A lying spirit came out. When the king of Israel says, I told you, Joseph, this guy will not. Somebody else now said, don't worry. Don't mind that church. Don't mind that pastor. Don't mind. See, this is. And that was it. That was the end for him. And 1 Kings 22, we're going to look at it. And God had to permit, just like 2 Thessalonians says, a lying spirit to deceive him. Because that's what he wanted. Because if you get to a point, God will give you what you want. It's not what he wants, it's what you want. A lying spirit. So be careful to, you know, to dictate how God should lead you. You can't do it. No, you can't. And so Paul warned Timothy. So God is saying the entire nation of Israel, they have no one leading them. In Numbers 27, we've been there. Where Moses knew he wasn't going to the promised land. Numbers 20. By Numbers 27, he said, a man
over this congregation. A man, verse 17, over, verse 16 and 17, a man over the congregation. Don't say a man. Say again, a man. Now, notice something I showed you yesterday. We said that if they ask you who delivered Israel, you say God. You also say who? Moses. Who is the king of the nation of Israel? Psalm 80 verse 1, God. Who is their king? You can also say David. You can say Solomon. So which means God will always be in partnership with men to carry out his own task. In fact, we've written materials on this to show that the ministry gifts, as we call them, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, is actually Jesus' office. We are only privileged. We are not entitled. You know, there is entitlement and privilege. We are not entitled, we are only privileged. So every opportunity you have to preach, to teach, it's a privilege. To lead God's people is a privilege. Never get to the point where you think it is your right. It is not your right. You are only privileged. So one of your most important prayers, my father taught me this actually. He used to say this to me in Yoruba. You say, it's one of the most important prayers he used to pray for me. When I saw it in God's word, look, what he's saying is this. You won't get to a point you will forget where you were taken from. You start to feel entitled. And that can happen to many of us, even in relationships. You know, you can get to an organization and your MD is so nice to you. I'm not talking about the MD that wants to sleep with you. But it's so nice to you, very warm, then you start to forget that you are an employee. You know, that can happen to us. So your MD says, Shekou, how are you? And puts his hand around your neck, you also stretch your own. The people from your village are strong. You know, you don't have that kind of, you know, people that it took you a while to get their number. When they gave you, thank you, ma. Then the same person, you start to forward message to the person's number. A goat gave birth to a monkey. You forward it. I mean, you are not a smart person. You are not a smart person. So, it is a privilege. It is God who is leading Israel. He takes Moses. That is why, when Moses did not do, someone else did it. When Miriam and Aaron also were feeling entitled, God chose somebody else. That's the point. That's the point. The moment you start feeling entitled, Brother Higgin told this story of one guy, a prominent preacher in America, that came on TV and said, look at our ministry. Look at what we have done. Look at what we have done. We have done this. We have done, and the man was so prominent. So that in the time in America, he was on TV almost every hour. He said, look at this. He said, and you know, I told someone 2 weeks ago, I said, okay, we are talking. I said, there is no ministry that can go so large and cannot come down. There is none. There is none. We all should be careful. There is none. None. And so the man was, at that point, he was the most televised preacher in America. One day he now got on TV and he said, look at what we have done. What will God do without me? Brother Higgins said, as soon as I said it, I knew he was coming down. Some things are not, you don't have to be told, you said, this one is coming down. In a few months, the ministry packed up. Brother Higgins said, he came down, and God has been fine since then. He's been good. You have to be careful. You don't have an entitlement culture. Sometimes like that in a local church, you think that it should be you that should lead the worship. You should be the one to lead the prayer. You should be the one to... No. Even if you are the present person leading prayer every service. You see, that every time, always thank the person. I know you should thank God too, right? But thank the person who gave you that is every time. It puts you in check. Because if you get to a point, they'll just say, Bro Stephen, come and lead. You say, what did I do, Pastor? Did I offend you? To do what? I said, Bro Stephen should lead.
He said, if you offend me, can't boss it. I'm just thinking, since I'm always the one you are calling, Halos Paracletos. We can call somebody else now. And you know, you can feel entitled. That you should be the one. No, you are not the one. It's only God that is the one. Don't be entitled. At all. And it can happen to all of us. You will be so comfortable. You will forget that first time. That the first time they told me to preach, I ran. The second time, I ran. The third time, I ran. The fourth, fifth, sixth time. Or the one day, the people that knew I was running stopped me from running. You are going nowhere. You are going to preach. One of the people that I'm talking about was one I saw here. I told him, I said, you know, you forced me to answer the call of God. And he said, come up, you are not going anywhere. You are preaching today. I said, today. You must not go anywhere. Now, the same you that you were running, they now asked you, can somebody else preach? I put, why? With all the grace of God upon my life? With the greater glory that I'm carrying out. What did Samuel tell Saul? Were you not small in your own eyes? You see some people for campus fellowship. They say, the president is Brasha Guanaika, you start crying. I don't know why Jesus loved me. The same person, within a week, he has PA. He already has a cabinet. He has PA, he has assistant PA of his PA. There was a guy like that, he's a campus pastor. He said, sir, should I send my PA? He's 200 level or 300 level. He said, should I send his PA? I said, no, thank God. Me and you, PA. I said, me, I don't have a PA. He said, sir, seriously? I said, no, jokingly. I don't have, you have a PA. The boy is, I'm sure his magic number is still shaky. SPA on campus. Your fellow classmate. You are possessed. Entitlement. You think you are entitled? I must be the one. After all, Pastor Larry is, he always tells me to go. I don't know why he has to. He can decide not to. And it's good for pastors. There are some time we draw that activity. It is to help the person. We draw it. So for the next 3 months, you know, he says, I'll be sitting, sir. You all sit down now. We all sit when you are preaching. Sir, did I do anything? No. He's sitting a scene. No, sir, I'm just thinking, maybe I said something I should not say. No. It's good. Martha, Mary sat down. One thing is needful, sit down. Then you know some brethren will now come to you. But she'll go, I don't know, what's going on? They say Satan's in with the Holy Ghost. You know, we are Satan, but they have Holy Ghost. They say, what's happening now? I don't know. Is there any? I just noticed that pastor has not been giving you that, brother. You are a Satan. I just noticed that, you know, recently I just noticed that you used to go home with pastor's car. But you've not been going home. I hope there's no problem. You are here. So don't think I'm preaching. I'm talking to you. Amen. I'm like Micaiah. I'm talking to you. Say, I'm not saying, not that it's my business, so I'm just thinking, I just noticed that naturally, you know, after pastor is finished preaching, you're the one that normally follows him in his protocol, but I noticed that you studied. You don't say nothing. No, tell me, it's no big deal. We're brethren. Pastor says you honor supernatural relationships. Satan's child. You know? So, you'll be coming entitled. It's God who is leading the people. You are his vessel. Say, I'm his vessel. So if it is God
God who is leading people. There is a burden on you, brothers and sisters, to hear from him. Did you hear what I just said? There is a burden on you to hear from him. May you not start leading people with your voice. Pray for yourself. That you will start leading people with your voice, your own desires, your own pursuits. You will start teleguiding God's children towards your own direction. Pray for yourself. He is the leader leading through you. There is a burden on you to hear from him. To ensure that it is God leading his people through you. Pray for yourself. You won't use the people of God as a personal project. Hallelujah. Sit down. Jeremiah 23. We're there. And verse 33. He said, what is the burden of the Lord? What then shall they say to them? What burden? I will even forsake you, said the Lord. I told you the word burden is something imposed on you. Now go a few verses before. Just like what we read from Micaiah's case. In 16. Hearken not unto the words of the prophet that prophesy unto you. They make you vain. They speak a vision of their own heart and not out of the mouth of the Lord. They say, steal unto them that despise me. The Lord has said, you shall have peace. They say unto everyone that walketh with the imagination of their own heart, no evil shall come upon you. For who hath stood in the counsel of the Lord and hath perceived and heard his word? We're going to look at this text tomorrow. Who hath marked his word and heard it? Go to 21. I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. But if they have stood in my counsel and have caused my people to hear my words, then they should have turned them from their evil way and from the evil of their doings. You have a responsibility to lead God's people supernaturally. That is why. You see, when you see a church leader who takes prayer with a pinch of salt, he is not ready to lead them supernaturally. I've said this over the years. At some point, some word people were criticizing me. I don't care. I said, God trusts a man who prays more than a man who studies the word. But if a man studies the word, he will pray. Prayer is proof that you are trusting God. There is no better way to show your trust and dependence on God than prayer. We'll get to this in a moment. So you are to lead God's people supernaturally. I'm saying this to everyone. Your leadership is not because of your age. Some people do that in ministry. They'll gather young people. You know, people they can just command. You know, come here. And you know, people that can say, that fellow in the community that is just an elderly person, that can just say, come guys, come, and you follow the person. They are now using that to do ministry. They are not leading supernaturally. They will not be giving advice. Advice about academics. Advice, and people will come to you for support, for financial support. You are not leading them supernaturally. You. I have not asked you not to support people financially. You will support them financially if you are their leader. But that is not your leadership. Your leadership is supernatural. Are you here? It's not your class in society. Because you are older than they are. Because your class, you know, you have 3 degrees, 2 PhDs. They are struggling to write their school certificate. So that is why you are their leader. No. Neither is it funds or finances. Particularly in times like this where there's a lot of poverty in the world. And then you have the privilege of money. Then you think that, oh, because I can be feeding them and they need school fees, I give them. So I am their leader. No. Your leadership is supernatural. It must not be tied to your age. It must not be tied to your status. It must not be tied to your wealth. Are you hearing what I'm saying tonight? The burden of the ministry is a supernatural one.
It's not because you have been in church before the person, or you have been born again before the person. That is not it. There must be a supernatural indication. In Acts 6, when they were asking the apostles about the distribution of food to the widows, they said, it's not reason that we should leave the world and serve tables. Choose among yourselves seven men, watch this, of honest report. That is, when we look at their lives, they reflect the character of the leadership of Jesus. They said, of who are full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. So the leadership is supernatural. Why was Joshua picked? Numbers 27. Because he is full of the Spirit. That's the reason. So that's the leadership. Now watch this. In case you think what I'm saying is one personal bedroom voice called the Holy Ghost. No. No. Joshua was always with Moses. So, as the Lord spoke to Moses, Joshua was there. He observed Moses. He followed Moses, and by doing that, he knew the leading of God's Spirit. He knew. He proved it. Now, it didn't stop with Joshua. Look at Elijah and Elisha. Same thing. Because they knew. They've been around it. Because when it comes to the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ, particularly a local assembly, the leading of God's Spirit has a corporate sense to it. Somebody who is able to know what God is saying to us, and he hears what he's saying to the leadership and can discern it very well. Joshua was like that. He had, of course, times where he made errors. He ran to Moses in Numbers 11. Said, some people are prophesying at the camp. But he said, are you envious for my sake? It's the will of God that all men be prophets. But he was someone who followed Moses. He followed him. He knew how God led him. He saw the experiences. He saw different. By the time he was going to send his own spies, he knew something happened to Moses when the spies came publicly and gave an evil report in Numbers 13 and 14. So when he sent the spies this time around, he didn't tell them to go and tell them to camp meeting. He said, come to my room. Tell me what you saw first. Then I'll go and tell the people. So he knew how the supernatural leading of God works in the work of ministry. Let me now come closer home. Look at Jesus. In John 14:16, he said, I'll pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. He says, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world does not know. He said, but you know him. For he dwells with you, and shall be where? In you. So, by being around Jesus, they have been accustomed to how God speaks. Who's following what I'm saying tonight? They were around him. They were around him. In fact, in Acts 4:13, they said, they took knowledge of the fact that these guys had been with Jesus. They have been around him. Said, he is with you and shall be in you. So, they were able throughout the book of Acts, what you could see easily, to walk in the counsel of God. Look at Paul. Okay, Luke 24:44. These are the words which I spoke to while I was sent to you, that all things must be fulfilled with the law of both the prophet and the Psalms concerning me. So, you could see that they could discern it. They had seen it by experience. They had known that God is leading the ministry like this. God is leading us this way. So they were leading the people supernaturally by the voice of God. And it was consistent, reliable, and dependable. So we have this here. So they had experiences. I'm going to say something in a moment. Experiences that they knew by the experiences, whether it's Joshua and Moses, Elijah and Elisha, we can go on and see how they knew God's leading by following the men who led them. However, let me say this, which means that they had a rich experience, but now put a caveat there. And put this down as a warning. As great as experiences are, you know, today sometimes I'm talking and I speak from experience. When you have those who are way ahead of me, when they are talking, they talk from experience. When they will talk, a man of Brother Hagin, he will talk a lot from experiences. Pastor Hagin, a lot from experiences. Now, let me tell you the danger there. The danger will be if you stop having those experiences and you are using past experiences that don't happen again. Which means that you are only talking about where God was. Allow me to use that phrase. Not what He's doing now in your life. Yesterday's experiences are only as valid if they are still real for you now. Ah, in those days when God used to talk to us. No, you can't lead God's people like that. Is I'm able to bring the past, the present, and project into the future. You can't lean on yesterday's manner. Ah, when we used to pray. Oh, when we used to study. When we used to teach. No. It becomes useful when I'm teaching now. So you have a burden to lead the people supernaturally. Supernaturally. One, you know how to follow those God has placed over your life. Two, you know how you are being led by the Spirit of God also as an individual. I trust God that in the coming days, you know, today, things are becoming so jocular. You see, men of God, I'm not putting in anybody's ministry, but I have to warn you ahead of time. They'll be prophesying about soccer games, World Cup, election, some very, what is wrong with you? Are you guys, what is he saying to the church? The body of Christ? Election. So I saw Germany and Belgium in the final. They didn't cross the group stages. And you have people come up and prophesy that a governor will die. How is that your office? I like one governor, he responded to one pastor, he said, tell me when. He said that, oh, he said, I'm going to die. We all know you are also going to die. You have not specified when. You know, those things should not happen. Focus on your work. On your work. Know how you are being led by the Spirit of God. From the leadership over your life. And also knowing it as a person. It's a subject that you and I must always, you cannot master it. I've told you before, you can never master this subject. You can only keep listening to it. The subject of the leading of the Spirit is such that you can't say, I know it. You keep listening to it like someone who has never heard it before. That is how to understand it. You know the reason? Because we are in a world that we have so many things trying to lead us. We must therefore maintain a humble, childlike attitude in hearing from God. Can I have an amen there? So your leadership is supernatural. Say, my leadership is supernatural. He told them in Acts 1:8, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost come upon you. Acts 2:49. He says, behold, I set forth my Father upon you, but time is not. Joseph shall be ready for power from on high. It was clear that their leadership had to be supernatural. It's not age. It's not status. It's not because you've been born again for 6 or 10 years. No! It's because of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is your strength. He's your strength. I like the song by Minister Sinach. You know? You are the fire in me. You are the power at work in me. You are my ever-present helper.
Holy Spirit, I adore. Precious Holy Ghost, I worship. So I say, we should not worship the Holy Ghost. Is he complaining to you? He said, every time they're worshiping me, I will lose my deity. I worship you. You know, as younger Christians then, we may not agree with this song doctrinally because it upsets, you know, our indwell of the spirit understanding. But you know something? There was a sincerity by which we sang it in those days. So come Holy Spirit, I need you. Come sweet spirit, I pray. Come in your strength and your power. Come in your own special way. And why we sang that then was because we knew and we still know that we have no other strength outside the Holy Ghost. You should see, I was telling the leaders before this conference, I said, every time we want to have this particular conference, I'm always very jittery. This is my 24th year holding this conference. Any of those, I'm always very jittery. Why? Is it that I don't have what to preach? Me, I have what to preach, oh. I can preach 5 conferences for you today. No! But what about saying exactly what God wants you to say? So I'm always very jittery. Like, hope I'm getting it right. Hope this is what he wants me to say. So usually what I do is, you know, after spending time, I'll take days off. Then I'll now call people I trust. I'll just be talking to them. And to just ensure that I'm going to say the right thing. Last week was 30 years that I started organizing meetings in ministry. So I'm not an inexperienced person. But whether you are experienced or not, you must always depend on the power of God. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Come in your strength and your power. Come in your own special way. It's not because the Holy Ghost is not in you. You're just saying, he's not by might, he's not by power, by my spirit, says the Lord. That's what you are saying. It's not by might. It's not by strategy. So you must trust him. Therefore, it's incumbent on you to pray, to fast, to fellowship, to be sincere, to be around spiritual activity. Are you doing those things? Because you know you can't go it in your strength. Moses, despite having those very vivid, legitimate, mind-numbing experience with the Lord from Exodus 3 to Exodus 24, 25. He went up to the Mount Sinai and he had a face-to-face encounter. But in Exodus 32, when the Lord said, I will send an angel, he knew God wasn't going with them. He said, look, if you don't go with us, we cannot go. They knew the importance. They knew the importance. You don't just step out to go and preach. You don't just step out to go and lead God's people. No, sir! No, ma'am! You have to trust in the presence, power, and ministry of the Spirit. Let me tell you why you go and preach without praying. Let me tell you why you give people counsel. Today, ask many of you, you know yourself. When you ask me questions, I say, let's talk about it later. You know why I say it? It's not because I cannot say something. I'm trusting that what I will tell you is the will of God. So usually I say, let's talk about it later. Not because I want to go and think. No. So that in prayer, I will be wiser in what I'll say. Do you know why you want to give people counsel without praying? Without hearing from God? Because you are proud. You are proud. You think, is it not just tell people what is the will of God? Take 30 seconds or 1 minute and pray for yourself. Every dint of pride that makes me think I will do it alone, I will do it without praying, I will do it without waiting on the Lord. Lord, remove it tonight. From my mind, and where I've always done this, I repent today. And I receive restitution and restoration. Where I gave counsel without praying. Where I said something to people without hearing from you. Hallelujah. Sit down.
So there is a burden on me. Is it optional? Is it optional?
It's compulsory.
There is a burden on me to lead supernaturally.
There's a burden.
There is a burden on me
to lead supernaturally.
And as we have said, it is compulsory. Also, secondly, it is urgent. It's urgent. It's urgent. It's compulsory. It is urgent. In John 4, when Jesus told the woman, "I am he," immediately she left her water pot. She left what she was doing, just like the earlier ones we read off. And she went to the city to announce about Jesus. There is an urgency. Urgency. Saul of Tarsus, immediately, he started preaching. The jailer, immediately. In Matthew 6:33, he says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God." We'll get that in a moment. Which is priority. So the first thing is compulsory. The second thing is urgent. The third, it must be first priority. First priority. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Say, other things will be added to you. Which means the word first means first place. First place. It's the topmost priority here. It's not co-dwelling, co-struggling with something else. So one, it's compulsory. Two, it's urgent. Three, it's top priority. 1 Corinthians 9, quickly. 1 Corinthians 9. Most priority. We're there. Last 2 days. In 16. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. For necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. Paul now says, for if I do this willingly, I have a reward. If against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed to me. We'll get to that in a moment. So, there is a first priority to it. You don't say, let me do it after. It's not just urgent, it's first priority. Peter in Mark 10:27 20, said, "Lord, we've left all to follow you. We've left wife, father, mother, children, lands, houses." What is he saying there? Unfortunately, some people have used that for the hundredfold giving. And I tell people that, how can this be given? Material things. Are you going to drop your wife and children to the offering bag? No. It's talking about priority. Priority. That we have put you above. Just like he said, no man who loves father, mother. Alright? He says, can be my follower. He's not saying you should not love. So you must first of all hate. The word hate in the Hebrew or Aramaic means to prefer over. Prefer me over, or better in today's language, to love less. To have priority less than. So, it's such an important thing on our heart. It's urgent. Sorry, firstly it's compulsory. Secondly it's urgent. Thirdly it's a priority. In 1 Kings 13, verse 11 to 15, there was a young prophet who was given the word by the Lord. And he said to him, don't go anywhere. Ensure you go and deliver. Then he met an old prophet. Said, did the Lord give you a word? He said, yes. Come, let us eat. He felt, because the guy had been in ministry before him, he should listen to him. He didn't just lose his ministry, he lost his life. When you begin to hear wrong counsel, the guy had been in ministry, this man, he told me he had done this evangelism, he done all these outreaches, he's done this, he was a pastor when he was young. Before he now is doing what he's doing, what is he doing now? Before he did what he's now doing now, he was a pastor. What is he now doing now? And he gave him the counsel. And he destroyed himself. First priority. First priority. Any counsel that says, put the ministry beside. Put serving the Lord beside for now. It's not of God.
First priority. The young prophet destroyed his life. And it was bad. So, you and I have a responsibility to know what comes first. Matthew 22 verse 37. They asked Jesus, what is the great commandment of the law? He said, the great commandment of the law is, thou shalt love the Lord your God. That word in the Hebrew is the word ahib. A-H-E-B. In the Greek is the word agape. It means to esteem high. With all your heart, with all your mind, and with all your soul. So with all your strength. That's the Romans 6 and 4. You will love him. You will esteem him above all else. Like the song by the man of God, Ron Kinoly. I humbly bow before you, Lord. I know my life is not my own, and I offer up the song up to give you pleasure, Lord. I seek the giver, not the gift. My heart desire is to lift you high above all earthly kings. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, might, and soul. So that is the great commandment of the Lord. So the second is like the first one. So you and I have that responsibility. Number one is compulsory. Number two, it's urgent. Number three, it must be first place. Whether you have conflict of interest or not changes nothing. It must be first place. First priority, first place. I hear this. When this happens, it orders everything you do. You become a responsible father, mother, wife, husband, sibling, employer, employee, citizen in the eyes of God. So that in all your doings, God's voice is topmost, uppermost. So, Paul says there is necessity laid upon us. We said that necessity also brings urgency. And the urgency says it's first place. Say it again, first place. Say it again, first place. Look at it, 1 Corinthians 9. Look at 17. If I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. You know, there are people that will say things like, I know, yeah, God, but I must be willing. I remember, well, I have to say it in this conference. I've said it in one of the Selters conference. I remember Sister Bolan Lebegri, when she was Ogunigbe. One early morning, about 15 years, going to 16 years now, she just called me, sir, I want to just take some leave off work of ministry. I said, why? She said, it's like my heart. My heart is not there. I say, heart. Do you know where your heart is? I say, is it because you're on holiday? I say, wherever you are now. Sir, come back here. I said, okay, sir. But that's because she's born again. So I just put up their phone. Remove the battery. Because she's born again. Come here. Go and do it. And that is the voice of the Lord. That voice, I say, calm down. You see, when you are talking to your pastor, never say, God told me to your pastor. You just say, I feel like, I sense that it should look like. Because when you say that to someone, who should guide you? You won't say anything again. I mean, who will say it's not God that is talking to you? Hey, come back here. Well, you see. I told someone one day, I said, hear what God is telling you. He said, I went to pray. I said, don't pray, I prayed. I knew the person was hearing voices. Say, if I'm not willing, what if I'm not willing? Who needs your will? They say you go to hell. He said, if I'm not willing. He said about will. Why are you overrating your will? How
important is that your will? Ordinary mosquito, you are shaking. Your will. Mosquito come on, you are shaking. Why didn't your will stop the mosquito? And you'll be killing it, and they'll dodge you. By your legs, you are shaking. You are confessing scripture. Mosquito small. I say, my will. Why are you overrating your will? What's in your will that is so important? I'm not willing. Willing, God. Williams. He says, if you are willing, you have a reward. You have a reward. Then look at the next part. He says, if not. He says, if it's against my will, that is, I choose not to do it. He says, it doesn't change anything. A dispensation of the gospel is committed to you. Let me read some versions for you. The New Living Translation says, even when I am not willing, I still have no choice. I like that. The NASB, New American Standard Bible, says, not the less, I still must do it. If it's against my will. The CEV, Contemporary English Version, I like this one too. He said, even if I don't want to, it is still something God has said I must do. I don't want to. So I'm thinking God will have to toast you and bring someone to be playing trumpet. And God will need that and bring ring. You are drunk. God will say, you know, I really want you to serve me. You know, you're so cute. You know, I'm just feeling like, you know, you're such a lovely chap. I can't meet someone like you. You know, you're too day now. Let's do this work together. So the Holy Spirit is just telling me that he really wants me to serve him. And I say, Holy Spirit, you know me. You know I want to. Holy Spirit, don't worry. You see, the evil spirit is talking to you. God is telling you. God said, Moses was giving me excuse. He said, okay, what's wrong with you? I said, you do something, I'll give you excuse. So I can't say, I'll give you a wrong. Go and do what I asked you to do. Say, if I'm not thinking, you know, me and God, if God is my personal person, bros, you are an idol worshiper. He said, if I have, is not, that is, I don't want to. So it doesn't matter. It changes nothing. The GNT, Good News Translation says, it's a matter of duty. I checked some earlier translation, the Aramaic Bible, the Aramaic Plain Bible. It says, even if it is against my pleasure, against my pleasure, whether I like it or not, the Aramaic Plain Bible, whether I like it or not, say me, whether I like it or not. It's not loud enough. Say, whether I like it or not, whether I like it or not, there is a burden of the work of the ministry placed on me, whether I like it or not. That's the word of God. It's not choose one, drop two. No, whether you like it or not. I close here. It says a dispensation, or oikonomia in the Greek, of the gospel is committed. That is, if you do it voluntarily, there is a reward. If you now don't want to do it, it changes nothing. You are going to be doomed, verse 16, and miserable. Very simple. The word oikonomia there means stewardship. I suggest and I believe that Paul was gleaning on Jesus' parable of the servants. Luke 16, verse 2, 3, and 4, because those words come in there. Oikonomio.
It means to be given a duty to manage a property, to manage people, to manage resources. And Paul will use the same words in Ephesians 1:10, Ephesians 3:2-9, Colossians 1:25, and 1 Timothy 1:4. Whether I like it or not, whether I am pleased with it or not. So, quit overrating your will. Quit overrating whether you are comfortable with it or not. No? When God gives you an instruction, it is not a suggestion. It's a must do. Has He given a free will for us to disobey? Yes. But you are not going to choose the consequence of your disobedience. Paul says that you are doomed if you don't do it. If you do it willingly, you have a reward. If you don't do it willingly, you still have a responsibility. So you must hear from God. You have to. You must. You have to. You are that man, that woman that we are praying about. You are that man, that woman that some are crying about in their nation, in their city, in their town, village, campus. You must do it. It's compulsory. Is urgent, is first priority, whether you like it or not. I believe that in these past few days, God has been speaking to you. Am I correct? Speaking to you through the different prayer sessions, different sessions, speaking to you through different persons. So it's He's laying a burden on you. It must be done. It has to be done. So be grateful this night as we close for men and women who have come around your life who are making it difficult for you to say no. You should be grateful. Who make it difficult for you to say no? And run from anyone who gives you an alternative. Because there is no such alternative from God. Before we leave tonight, what is that thing on your heart that you know is competing, contesting with the burden of the work of the ministry? To preach, to teach, to lead men, to be an example, supernatural. I want you to read it out of your heart tonight. You have no choice. You are left with no option. When Moses said, I present before you, Exodus 30:19, life and death, good and evil. Say, but choose good. Choose life. To keep your lovely face ever before my eyes. This is my prayer.